The lesson this morning is entitled, God is not a hanging judge. You know, sometimes we may think there's a call for a hanging judge. And when there's an appropriate time for it, God can be as harsh and as fierce as any. The Bible teaches us that His wrath, when it comes to the time where His wrath is going to be meted out, it's going to be without mixture. It's going to be horrible to face His wrath. But we've got to remember that that is not what He wants. We saw in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want that to happen. Now, it will happen to some. And in fact, Jesus tells us that the way that leads to destruction is broad and many are going in there. So in fact, we find that it will happen to most. But that's not what God wants. In 1875, there was a wild, untamed territory where the outlaws ruled here in the United States. That was called Indian Territory. We have someone here from that area of the world, although I don't think they lived there in 1875. But we know that area today as Oklahoma. But at the time, before Oklahoma was officially a state and before there was really a rule of law there, the outlaws just controlled the place. And everything that they wanted to do, they did. It was an area full of those who had committed all sorts of crimes and wanted to escape. That's where they went. And so it was a rough region. The only court that had any jurisdiction over that was in Fort Smith, Arkansas. It was the last outpost before you got to the wild lands. And there were several judges there. One was a very corrupt judge, and after they discovered his corruption, a judge by the name of Isaac Parker was put in place to take his place. And Isaac Parker was a judge who, well, he didn't take any flack from anybody. And he brought some level of civilization of sorts to that region. During the time that he was the judge, he was nicknamed the Hanging Judge because he sentenced 160 men to die and personally hanged 79 of them. And I say personally, I don't mean that he held the rope, but he oversaw the hanging of 79 people during the time that he was the judge there. And so he got the name of the Hanging Judge, a nickname. But that name has since come to mean a judge who is less interested in being merciful and even in seeing that what is right and just is done, but in making sure he gets a conviction, making sure that the guy gets punished, even if the guy happens to be innocent. And you know, some people have that impression of God. They think that God is just going to punish everybody because He hates everybody, and it doesn't matter even if you're innocent, He'll get you on some technicality. Even if you didn't really do anything bad, He's going to get you. He hates people, and He just delights in throwing His lightning bolts at people and striking them dead. There are some religions in the world who have gods like that. Christianity is not one of them. Our God is not that kind of God. In fact, our God is a just God. It's true. He will not clear the guilty. Exodus 34:7 tells us that. But He is a God who delights in mercy. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11 tells us that He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And we already saw 2 Peter 3:9 that He wants everyone to be saved. That's His desire. That's His goal. He's unlike some of these judges who are just out to get people sent to jail or sent to the electric chair or lethal injection or whatever it may be, or as with this judge, just hanging them. So He strikes fear in the heart. God's not that way. Is hell real? Yes. Will there be people who are punished there eternally? Yes. But that's not what God wants. Instead, we see that the God of the Bible, far from being one of these hanging judges, He is a God who pardons. God pardons people. He's one of a kind. You know, there are all sorts of different religions out there, and they have all sorts of different ideas of what a God would be like. There are some who have gods who were immoral, like the Roman gods, who came down and caroused with the people, and that was their impression of what a God would be, because that's what kind of people they were. They created God in their own image. The Greek gods were gods who invoked fear, and the gods of the Celts were fierce, thunder and lightning. You've probably heard of Thor. Well, all of these gods that people invented had all sorts of flaws. The Babylonian gods were very fickle, and they changed their favorites time and time again. And the African gods were animalistic. They could be vicious. And they would turn on you at a moment's notice. The gods of the Egyptians, well, they had a new one just about every week. And all of these gods, the Aztecs, built huge pyramids where they went and sacrificed human flesh to their gods. And we read in the Bible of Molech, who people sacrificed their children to that god. These are the kinds of gods that people invented. But you see, the God of the Bible is one of a kind. He is unlike all of these. The God of the Bible pardons and forgives. Micah asked the question in Micah 7 and verse 18, "Who is a God like thee that pardons iniquity?" The answer to that, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is, first of all, there is no other God. But of all the things that are worshipped as God, of all the ideas people have of what a God would be, no one ever imagined a God like this God. A God who would forgive. You know, we have no greater need in our lives than to have our iniquity, our sin pardoned. Oh, we need air to breathe. We need water to drink and food to eat. We need clothing and shelter. We need the sunshine and the rain so that our food will grow. We need those things, yes. But there is no need that is greater than our need to be forgiven of our sin. And God knows that. Psalm 25 and verse 11, David cries to God, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." We all could echo David's sentiment. We all need to realize that we have great iniquity that needs to be pardoned. We all do. As we talked about in class this morning, that Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray, and he said, "I thank you that I'm not a sinner like other men." He was a sinner like other men. He just didn't know it or wouldn't admit it. And any of us who have that attitude, we're missing the boat. We've got to understand, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans tells us. But we need to be sure that we understand that we need the pardon that God offers. That's the wonderful thing about it, though. Because as opposed to some gods who could be talked into pardoning, God, our God, pardons willingly. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17 says, "You are a God ready to pardon." You know, most of the time, if you go before a judge, that judge is not ready to pardon you. You have to prove yourself to that judge. Particularly if you have been convicted of a crime and you're trying to get that overturned. You know, some people have been through that, where they were wrongly convicted of a crime and later DNA evidence or some new witness or some new information came forth, found out they weren't guilty, they'd been, but they have to prove it. before they'll pardon them. We talked about a while back about the last days of our last president's administration, and every president does that at the end of they pardon people. And so some of the people that were wanting to be pardoned, they begged and they pleaded and they did everything they could do. Some of them probably even tried to bribe him to get, oh, pardon my friend or my brother or my father or my sister or whoever. God is not like that. God is ready to pardon. He is willing. God is not coaxed or bribed or coerced, as though anyone could coerce God to do anything. He's not forced into granting pardon. In fact, it was His idea. You know, most of the time, if we want to receive forgiveness, we've got to go begging and pleading and well, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God already came up with the idea. Here, I want to pardon you. Here, come on, come get it. Now, of course, as with anything, there are guidelines that we've got to follow to receive that pardon. But it was His idea. He wants to pardon. He wants to forgive. Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8 tells us about that. How He sent His Son to die. He didn't wait until we came to Him asking, what can we do? Come help us out. We need help. He sent His Son while we were still in rebellion to Him, while we were still sinners, while we were ungodly. He didn't wait until we became godly and started worshiping Him and then say, oh, wow, these people are just, you know, they're coming to me and they're begging me and they're trying to do what's right. What can I do to forgive them now? Didn't work that way. It worked the other way. He came seeking us. When we didn't have any interest in Him. We didn't care. And yet He came. And He hunted us down. Trying to find us so that He could pardon us. Sending His Son so that we could be forgiven. Not only do we have a God who pardons and a God who pardons willingly, but we have a God who pardons abundantly. You know, some people will forgive once. There was a movement in the religious world in the early centuries where they began to wait later and later in their lives to obey the gospel. Eventually they would want to wait until they were on their deathbed, because while they understood that baptism and the blood of Jesus Christ took away their sin, they thought it was a one-time only deal. And that if after that you ever messed up again, it was all over. They didn't understand the Bible. They didn't understand what John says about how His blood continually cleanses us from sin. They didn't understand that concept. And because they didn't understand that, many of them who studied God's Word and loved to worship God, but they never were baptized because they were waiting till the last moment, because they were afraid that if they were baptized too soon, then later they'd commit a sin and they'd have to go to hell. They didn't understand how abundantly God pardons us. See, God doesn't just pardon us for the things that we did before. He's willing to pardon us of the things that we keep doing on through the rest of our lives. So someone who's baptized as a young person can still, 30 years later, be receiving pardon from God for the sins that they commit then. And 50 years later, and 60, even when they're 80 or 90 years old, they can still be coming to God and being forgiven. We understand how unique that is, how special that is, that we have a God who is not just willing to pardon, but willing to pardon so abundantly. God loves to forgive. In Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8, the psalmist says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Now the word plenteous there, it describes it being ample, it's full, it's not limited, it can't be exhausted. It goes beyond, it's like there's just a fountain. We even sing that song, there's a fountain free. You know, and it keeps flowing. It's never exhausted. If we think about God's love and God's mercy and His willingness to pardon as the ocean, and you realize how the ocean, the water evaporates and it waters the land. And yet, despite the fact that there is enough water in the ocean that it waters all of the land on earth, the water in the ocean, the level of the ocean doesn't drop. In fact, I guess they say it's rising now. But you know, it doesn't run out. There continues to be enough water there. And the same way with God's forgiveness, it's not as though He'll run out. And I say, well, you know what? I'm lucky. I mean, I was the last one. There's not enough for anybody else to be saved. Have you ever found that something on sale at the store or a coupon or something like that, or they're giving away something free, and you go and they say, well, we ran out. I'm sorry, you missed it. We're out of that. You can't get that anymore. We've probably all been there with something like that, a sale price on something, and we went to get it, and they were gone. Everybody else went and got it there before us. You know, there are some people that believe that that's the way heaven works. That there's limited space there. God's only going to let a certain number of people in, and if you miss that cutoff, well, too bad. You don't get to go to heaven. Oh. God's love and God's mercy is not like that. It's unlimited. Everyone who comes, who truly comes to Him honestly, faithfully, can receive that blessing. There's no limit. God does love to forgive. Consider for a moment how much and how many times God has forgiven you. And just think about your life. Think about the things that you do from day to day that you know aren't right, or the things you know you should do that you don't. And we think about those things, and yet God continues to forgive us for that. Luke 17 and verse 4, Peter's trying to, he says, well, if I let this guy sin seven times and I forgive him, isn't that great? Seven times. And Jesus said, no, I tell you, if he comes seven times a day and asks you seven times a day to forgive him, then you need to forgive him. Not just seven times total, but seven times every day. And we said, well, I can't. How can you? Sometimes we do with God. There are probably some days where we do sin against him seven times. Maybe some days where some of us sin against him more than that in one day. And that's sad. We need to avoid that. We need to stay away from sin. But it happens. And certainly those out in the world who don't give any thought and don't even care. But let's just imagine. Just imagine for a moment when you consider the sins that we commit, the sins of things that we omit, sins of thought, sins of speech, attitudes, sins of weakness, secret sins that nobody else knows about, ignorant sins where we did something we weren't even realizing we did sin. You know, what if somebody did sin 10 times a day? 10 times a day. And I know, you know, there are people out there in the world who probably sin 10 times an hour. You know, that's just, I mean, you know, everything out of their mouth is either filled with profanity or it's a lie or it's gossip. I mean, every time they open their mouth, they're just sinning constantly. They're living in sin. We talk about that. The difference in us as Christians and in people in the world is not that we don't sin. It's that we just don't live in sin. We don't try to sin. We still commit sin, but we're not living a life of sin. But imagine that. If you sin 10 times a day and live to be 75 years and assume that God considered you accountable to your sins at the age of 12, then for that 63 years that you lived after that, God would need to forgive you of 230,000 sins. Now, multiply that by all of us here. Multiply that by all of the people in the world. And you realize how much God is willing to forgive, because He would forgive everyone. And He would never run out of mercy. He would never run out of pardons if everyone would come to Him. He could forgive the whole world. In fact, that was His plan. That was why He sent Jesus, to take away the sins of the world. Not just, it would be pretty incredible if Jesus had come to save all of the people that were alive in His day. I mean, that would be pretty incredible. Even if Jesus had come to save all of Israel, all of a particular nation, that would be pretty incredible. If He came to say, well, I can't do anything about the people that came before me, but I'll save the people after me. Or if He said, well, I can only save the people from before me, I can't do anything about the people, that would be incredible. But when we realize that Jesus came to forgive the sins of the people that came before Him and all that come after Him until the end of the world, all who will, that's amazing. I mean, we can't even begin to calculate that, how many sins His blood has covered. You consider, when you pray, whether it be today, during the day sometime, or at night before you go to bed tonight, and you pray and you ask God to forgive you of the sins that you've committed, you realize, you could be the 1 millionth person today that's gone to Him in prayer. You could be the 10 millionth person today who's gone to Him in prayer. I mean, you think about that. That He may be forgiving millions of sins every day. This is the kind of God that we serve. John chapter 1 and verse 29, when Jesus comes, John the Baptist sees Him coming, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." That's one of the things that I've always despised, is about as kindly as I can say it, about the Calvinistic doctrine, is their idea of limited atonement. That Christ only came to save a select few. No! John says He came to take away the sins of the whole world! Everybody! Let whosoever will come! Not just a select few. Now, is it true that only a select few will receive that forgiveness? Yes. That's true. It's sad. I was over at Phillips watching the Super Bowl, and they had a commercial. I forget now what the commercial was for. They said they were, Denny's, I think. Denny's restaurant. They said they were going to give everybody a free breakfast. I forgot what day it was. I don't know where Denny's is anyway, so I couldn't go. But they were going to give everybody in America a free breakfast. Do you think they did? No. I know they didn't give me one. Did they give you one? No. None of us got one. But they said they were going to give everybody in America a free breakfast. Why didn't we get one? Because either we didn't know, or those of us who did know, didn't take advantage of it. A while back, Dr. Pepper ran a program where they were going to give a free Dr. Pepper to everybody in America. They had such an outpouring. Their website crashed. Their phone lines went down because so many people went. And they said, well, we didn't expect this kind of response. Well, why not? You said you're going to give one to everybody in America. You should have expected 300 million people were going to try to get one. Now, I know. I didn't get one. Did you get one? So a lot of people didn't get it. Why? Was it because they weren't offering it? No. They were offering it. We just didn't get it because either we didn't know, or if we knew, we didn't take advantage of the offer. No one will be able to stand in judgment before God and say, it's not fair. You didn't give me salvation. You didn't give me pardon. You didn't forgive me of my sin. He offered. He put it out there and he told us, I'm willing to forgive you of your sins. I want to forgive you of all your sins. I want to forgive everybody, everywhere, of all their sins. If you don't get it, it's either because you didn't know, or you know. So that's not you. Now, there may be some people out there who don't know. If they don't know, we need to get out there and let them know. We need to tell them. But most likely, it'll be because even though you knew, you didn't take advantage of the opportunity. God wants to forgive. But since He's the one doing the forgiving, even though He pardons, and He pardons willingly, and He pardons abundantly, He is the one in charge of how it works. And so He gets, you know, there's always every sale at the end of the little commercial where certain restrictions apply, this is limited in such and such state, and all it is, and all the fine print. There are always limitations and exclusions that apply. Well, in God's case, the limitations, He's put them there. He's told us what we've got to do in order to receive that pardon. And we can do it. It's not impossible. It's not even really that difficult. All He asks is that we hear His word, Romans 10:17 tells us. That after hearing His word, we believe it. John 8:24 tells us that we must believe. That we be willing to repent of our sins. You see, He can't forgive us if we won't repent of them. Acts 2 and verse 38. That we submit ourselves to water baptism. 1 Peter 3:21. That we confess Jesus as the Christ, that we continue confessing Him as the Christ throughout our lives. He is our Savior. He is the Son of God. If we'll do that, His river of mercy will flow into our lives. And He'll forgive us. And as long as we remain faithful, we will continue to receive that river flowing over us, washing us, cleansing us of our sins. Are you here and you haven't taken advantage of the offer? Don't wait too long. The offer will expire. It'll expire either when you die or when Jesus returns. Of course, I suppose there are other possibilities. You could be in a coma for 5 years before you die. But those are the basic. That's the end of it then. The offer is only valid for those who are alive. For those who have a mind willing to do the things that are stated in the offer. If you haven't taken advantage of it, take advantage of it today. Don't wait another hour. If you're here and you are a Christian, you've taken advantage of the offer initially, but perhaps you're taking advantage of it a little too much. Paul said, what, shall we sin the more that grace may abound? God forbid. Just because God is willing to pardon us doesn't mean we should go out of our way to see just how much He will. We need to be trying to avoid sin. Trying to live close to God, to live godly lives and righteous lives. If you're here and you have a need to respond for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.